Hi everyone, welcome back to the HR Leaders Podcast. On today's episode, I'm joined by Shipra Singh, who's the head of HR for Switzerland and Austria at Microsoft, and Michael McKiernan, who's a senior client partner in organizational strategy and transformation at Korn Ferry. During the episode, they share Microsoft and Korn Ferry's key learnings for successful hybrid work implementation. They talk about the importance of senior leaders in fostering a culture of empathy and empowerment in driving change, why we need to rethink employee well-being strategies in the context of modern work environments, and how to recognize and address generational trends and outliers for effective HR management. Lastly, they talk about the urgent need for companies to focus on reskilling and upskilling to stay competitive. As always, before we jump into the video, make sure you hit the subscribe button, turn on the notification bell, and follow on your favorite podcast platform. With that being said, let's jump in. Shipra, Michael, welcome to the show. How are you both?
Good, thank you.
Nice to see you.
Hey, Chris.
I have to say, Shipra, first and foremost, congratulations on the new role.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's been quite an adventure. And as I was sharing earlier, honestly, coming to another country as a tourist is very different as compared to coming here to live and work. And I've been pleasantly surprised, with the goodness that has existed around in my organization and the people around. So honestly, after the initial period when we were like really overwhelmed, we're settling down well.
Nice.
And just beginning to explore Switzerland, Europe, the work here. And it's really nice. It's quite
great.
Good.
Well, on that note then, before we jump in and hand over to Michael as well, like tell everyone a little bit more about you and your background and journey. You know, did HR choose you or did you choose HR?
Chris, I come from India, right? And there, the moment you start coming to your 10th grade, 12th grade, you start talking about when will you do your post-graduation and what would you do then. You even skip a step, you go beyond graduation, you start talking like that. So I didn't choose HR. I chose a college, which was supposed to be a very good college that would help me land a really good job with a good company. And in the process, I started studying HR, and my first job that I landed was in HR. And after that, I realized it was good. It was exciting. I was learning every inch of the way, and I didn't think of changing, to be very honest. Yeah, but I didn't choose it as such. But in retrospect, it seems like a good choice and no complaints.
Nice. It's definitely served you well. And also it's ever changing. So if you want to be in a role which is constantly evolving and keeping you challenged, that HR is the one.
Absolutely.
Amazing. And Michael, what about you? Tell everyone a little bit more about you and your journey to where we are today.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. And Shipra, I do hope you're doing okay with the weather, because that's a big change from India to Switzerland.
Yeah, that's true.
I fell into it as well as regards to working in HR. So I'm now working with Korn Ferry, which is one of the big HR kind of global advisory firms. My story was started in the States. I grew up in the States as a kid, and I really liked foreign languages. So I did foreign languages in university, qualified as interpreter, and ended up moving to Ireland, at which point my parents were like, what? You've done all this study, you're moving to one of two English-speaking countries, the one we all come from. That's not really the way it's supposed to work. I found myself kind of in Ireland, working in kind of training and development and leadership, kind of in my early 20s, and really enjoying it. And then found as I was doing that actually there's wider pieces around what people do in work and how they do that. So ended up moving to London and taking a job with one of the big consulting practices in their HR consulting practice, looking at really kind of how behavior changes and why people do things the way they do. And if you communicate to people slightly differently, they'll probably behave slightly differently. And then I've spent the last 20 years actually focused on that, which is, how human beings work and how we can help them do things differently, because we're probably the most complicated thing in business, actually. It's kind of the factors that come into it. And I guess for my sins as well, in one of my roles in Dubai, I had the pleasure as well as the experience, same as Shipra, of being the HR director across kind of 11 countries for part of the business. So I ended up actually being on that side of the fence where you were kind of coming up with both strategies and directly supporting people in some quite interesting environments.
So that's me. Must be really interesting to be experience both perspectives, to be on the inside and also, you know, on the outside, you know, two different, very, very different, but skills, learns different skills on both.
Different skills on both, but also different perspectives. And sometimes what you're trying to achieve is slightly differently. So it's slightly different rather. So if you think about it from a people perspective, as an HR director and shipper, you've probably seen this all the time. You know, you're there to make sure people have what they need, the right environment to work in, the right support materials, as well as kind of creating enough excitement and pressure that they're actually able to deliver and then making sure they have what they need to deliver. Sitting on a consulting side or an advisory side, we're actually saying we have great ideas on how we can support you with that. And there's certain things that we can, you know, to a certain extent, when I'm having conversations with clients and with Microsoft ourselves, we're working in partnership, you know, how we can help people work differently is actually a really big question that can have 1,000 answers, right?
Yeah.
So we ask a really big question like, oh, what are you worried about? And, you know, you end up with like a long list of different things that people need to think about. It's actually starting to think about what's most important for people and then taking that forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note then, I know Microsoft and Korn Ferry are both companies that have supported hybrid ways of work for quite a few years now. You know, what are some of the important learnings that might help other organizations and our listeners navigate through this?
So, hybrid working, I know you mentioned we've been working on this for a long time, but it's the new way of working. But the way hybrid came up in the context of the pandemic and now has been quite drastic. And it has created challenges for organizations and employees. And in that context, what we've experienced is while engagement is crucial, we have to move beyond engagement to experience and also how employees are thriving. So in Microsoft, we define thriving as to be energized and empowered to do meaningful work. This is the core aspiration we have for our employees, one that challenges us to push ourselves every day. So every employee feels that they're pursuing with a sense of purpose. So employee experience is becoming very central to our success. The development of talent relies on utilizing the technology available to support hybrid working and create a culture of trust and flexibility to enable employees to thrive. One of the key learnings for us has also been that while we focus on this, it's also very important to focus on the skills of managers to take care of their teams in a hybrid setup to deliver success. Coaching is very powerful because it shifts mindsets. People leaders move from managing to mobilizing, focusing on removing roadblocks for their teams. So a lot of focus for us has been on how we build manager capability to model coach care. So in a nutshell, our focus on thriving isn't just about recovering from the impact of the pandemic or matching pre-COVID employee sentiment scores. It's about coming out on the other side and doing even better. And for an organization like ours, which is focused on customer success, we understand the need to ensure that our people are at their best and thriving. And all our focus has been towards enabling that employee experience from all sides, from a technology perspective, from a capability perspective, and from a skill perspective.
Love that. I'd love to dive in a little bit deeper before we'll hand over to you a second, Michael. How have you moved from engagement to experience? You know, that's something we hear a lot about, but practically, what does that look like? Moving from, for many years, the focus was employee engagement. Now we're talking about employee experience. And that's one of the things that's evolved out of the pandemic, right? Is a focus on employee experience. What does that look like?
I guess it's interesting because there's an evolution as well, I think, on how we describe things, right? So if we take the true definition of the word engagement, it means we're interacting and we're doing stuff together. Right. And when we were talking about employee engagement kind of, you know, before COVID and before we were doing a lot more virtual, a lot more hybrid, to a certain extent, that was almost easier. We could, you know, you could have lunches together with teams and you can engage and you could share and you mm-hmm. could, you know, have conversations, with other people in the room and kind of get that kind of full experience. Right. And then to a certain extent, we were all kind of you know, whether we went running and cheering or dragged kicking and screaming through COVID, we were then, everything was done through technology. And we then had to start to think about what engagement looked like. So, you know, and I think all the organizations did it. We were having, you know, table quizzes over laptops. We were having cooking demonstrations across continents with teams. And we were trying to find different ways of creating engagement. And what was really interesting about it was you were starting to create an experience that everybody could take part of, even though they weren't necessarily in the same room, which was what would normally happen. Mm-hmm. So even if you take that example of a team building event where you're having a cooking class, before you would have gone to a restaurant or gone somewhere and you would have been cooking together and the whole experience would have been everything in one place, where now that is kind of separated out and disparate, and we're creating that same experience individually in loads of you know, smaller places. So as you start to then think about that experience, you start to say, okay, well, where's the area somebody is working in? And do they have the right materials to be working with and the right tools? And am I, you know, if Shipra and I are in Europe and we're talking to somebody in the West Coast of the United States, are we setting times for meetings where we want everybody to be productive at times when everybody can be productive? Or is there somebody working really late who might be quite tired in their day, or really early for somebody who's only just waking up? And so when you start to think about the experience, it's that whole piece around the overall environment experience, the things that they have and what they can use. And then it comes down to, and Shipra, I would love to hear your view on this. It comes down to how detailed and how personalized that can be, right? So I'm currently sitting in a meeting room in an office in Dublin in Ireland, right? It's got really strong Wi-Fi. When I work from home, I work from a small part of an old cottage that has very good Wi-Fi as well. And I feel very comfortable there, right? But part of that environment is I have a comfy chair and I've got a laptop and I can sit at the table and I've got really good coffee and I can organize my meetings and stuff. But one of the things about creating the right experience, Chris, is we would only run meetings for 45 minutes within the hour or 25 minutes in the half hour. So that allows me to go grab that cup of coffee. That allows me to kind of, you know, have a bit of a comfort break because you're in back-to-back meetings. We now encourage people within their work environment or work experience to create half an hour breaks, because even when we were working in the office, you never went from 8 a.m. in the morning to 6 p.m. at night.
Yeah.
No breaks at all. Like mm-hmm. The human brain will just explode, right? So the experience is thinking about all the different factors that come into what that looks like. And a really good example, I will stop talking in a second, Shipra, but I work with a fantastic partner that's on the West Coast of the United States with our partnership within Korn Ferry and Microsoft. And they were part of that really big storm that went through Northern California last week, right? And so they're like, look, we've lost power. So I'm actually turning off the laptop. I'm going to go onto the mobile phone because we're not sure how long the power is going to be off, but I'm listening, right? And you can actually almost kind of start to think through kind of going, all right, so that's a very different work environment and work experience that I'm having. I'm sitting comfortably in an office building in Dublin in Ireland. And, you know, one of my colleagues is currently sitting in the house thinking about when the power might come back on because there's a massive kind of, you know, storm outside. So it's starting to think about those types of the holistic experience within which people are working.
Absolutely, Michael. Just to add to your point, it has had a huge impact from a culture perspective. Earlier, we would not know what's happening in someone's life. Mm. But what this created was that we got a peek into each other's personal lives and developed an appreciation of the whole self of the individual rather than just the professional self who comes to work. And that changes the dynamics, right? I mean, the expectations around when you say taking a break or setting up those gaps between meetings are set in a certain context of understanding what the individual priorities are while ensuring the outcome happens. And I think this has, from a different side, a different perspective of creating a culture which is more inclusive, which is more rooted in the personal reality of the individual, and also helps the individual align their personal priorities to the priorities of the organization. I think this was personally a very good insight for me from working in these past few years and definitely working with Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. It's also one of the first times that we empowered our line managers and leaders to make decisions on how and when they work individually amongst their teams. before we had this kind of one size fits all model that everyone just had to to fit within, right? And all of a sudden, even me, I'm giving my managers the autonomy to say, you know, figure out what works best for you and your team and your dynamic and those personal circumstances. And that in itself is a whole new set of skills and challenges for leaders and managers. You know, the conversations they've never had before. For me personally, like we mentioned earlier around line managers, you're saying, you know, talking about things like leading with empathy and having conversations like that, you know, that we never really had before, and customizing the experience to each individual employee as well. Shipper, what were some of the things, skills that you kind of discovered that were important for line managers in this new world of work?
I think the managers are very pivotal to bring the employee experience to life. Let me put it like this. We can put tons of technology, but if the managers are not able to leverage that to create the right experience, it becomes very difficult. Also, managers help us scale the employee experience.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about an HR, the HR capability as well. And in the past few odd years, gone are the days wherein you would deploy one HR person for so many hundreds or certain kinds of employees. I mean, these days, technology does a lot of stuff. So in our experience in Microsoft, a lot of our effort has been towards building manager capability. And one of the frameworks that we anchor ourselves in this is something called model coach and care. So we keep it simple and we say, as managers, you're expected to role model a certain behavior. As managers, you're expected to coach your employees and not constantly review them. So ask the right questions so that mm-hmm. employees figure out the answers. And the third bit is care. And care is, there is the obvious meaning of it in terms of leading with empathy. But it also means that I, as a manager, know my employee well enough to be able to understand the aspirations of the employee and to be able to channelize those aspirations in a way that's meaningful for the employee and the organization as well. For us, that's an essential element of care as well. So I think these anchoring ourselves in these pillars of manager capability has helped us. They are extremely pivotal to creating employee experience, to connecting with customers, to connecting with to larger organization. And staying anchored on this has helped us pretty much scale the speed for the rest of the organization.
Mm. I love that. And I'll tell you a story from yesterday, really random, but it just sort of brought it to mind. I was interviewing someone and I asked them, you know, what are their passions? What do they care about? What means them, you know, their why, their purpose? And they paused for like what seemed maybe like 5 minutes. And I was like, oh, maybe I hit a nerve here. And she said to me, she's like, Chris, I've been doing this for 20 years and no one's ever asked me that question. And it kind of like made me feel a bit sad, to be honest, that no one actually had taken the time to ever say, to your point, care. What does that really mean? No, it's not just in the words, like you said, but she kind of was a bit defensive. She was like, she dropped me an email and said, I'm sorry, I was a bit off with that question. She's like, I've never been asked it. And I didn't know if you was asking it to use it as leverage to as like a pitch to a ploy to sort of recruit me, if that makes sense. So I was like, because she was like, no, I apologize for being defensive, but she was like, I really appreciate you asking and genuinely caring, because that's not something I've ever experienced. And to be honest, in my career before I started HR Leaders, there was very few occasions that I sat down with my leaders, unfortunately, and managers, where they said to me, Chris, what is it that you really care about and how can we help you, you know, get there and achieve it? So I just wanted to share that example, because I think the new generation as well coming through, this is even more important to them.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that more and more. They're asking me questions. Chris, what is your why? What is your purpose? Why should I join HR Leaders? I'm like, whoa, like I never used to get those questions before as well. So I just wanted to point those examples out. I love what you mentioned.
The work we do with Microsoft and in particular what we've been doing. And look, it's really interesting. Like, Shipra, I love the example you gave, you know, most of us are, when we're working from home from COVID or still working there, and you get a window into people's lives, you know, their children and their pets and their, you know, probably their hobbies and everything else. But what I do find really interesting now is there has been a bit of a reset as regards to the value proposition in the truest sense of those two words around what somebody who goes to work wants from the organization they work for and what the organization requires in order for, you know, them to be productive and to create value. And that is much more of a balanced equation now, where the employees expecting value to be produced for them as much as the employers expecting value to be produced for the employee, right? And one of the things that become very, very clear within new kind of hybrid working, new world order, if you want to call it that, whatever, is this idea around relevance. Like, how relevant is what I do to my purpose, my vision, my own personal values? Do I align? It's no longer sufficient to say I like my job, right? It's much more about not only do I like my job, but I like what I do. I like and respect the people I work with, and I respect and understand the organization I work with. And that becomes a much stronger contract, if I can call it that, between individuals and organizations, because it's holding both sides to account. And the ability now that we have, even if you think that, I mean, the amount of technology, the amount that technology has enabled organizations to flatten, right? You know, the ability for individuals to be able to reach out and have conversations with, you know, very senior leaders who before they never would have gotten even near the office to. Now they can just set up an MS Teams call and say, "Hi, Shipra, how are you? Can I talk to you about something?" Really flattens it and creates a level of democratization and kind of, you know, empowerment that probably wasn't there before this level of hybrid working came into being.
You talked about, Michael, this flattening of the hierarchy. It is so amazing. It's been happening over quite a number of years, and it's been accelerated through this hybrid working period. And I'm just picking the point, Chris, that you talked about in terms of the new generation, what they are looking for. And I mean, I guess there's enough research to suggest that. But interestingly, you know, as a manager, what I have experienced that earlier they would look up to you as a source of information, someone who knew more than what they did. But that has changed totally because there is complete democratization of information. They have everything. So as a manager, how do I create value for them? And their value is actually steeped a lot in purpose, mission.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What's your purpose? What is the company's purpose? And that makes them decide which company to choose or leave, for that matter. So it's quite interesting as to how this change is happening and also getting accelerated to that extent, you know, the skills that we need to build in our leadership and our managerial population.
And that's a massive culture shift.
Yes.
In companies, right? Whereas as in the past, as a manager, you were the source of knowledge and decision-making, et cetera. I'll tell you another story. I hired someone recently who just graduated, came into business. We had a team meeting where we were just sort of sharing some ideas on projects. And one of the new hires sort of challenged a perspective I had and said, "I think, Chris, we need to look at this differently. This is my opinion. And I think this is the way we should go." And I was like, "Great, you know, I don't think that's the way we should go, but I wanted them to explore it and see where it came." And I had another member of the team message me and say, "How comes they challenged you when you're the CEO and you're okay with that?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And they're like, "I've never been in a company where someone who's just joined can say to the CEO of a business that actually I disagree." I was like, "That's why I hired them. It's because they are the expert on that thing." But it was interesting because I realized that was the culture of HR leaders, that you can do that. Whereas they had come from a traditional environment where you just wouldn't do that. And it was really nice to see that, I'm sure from their perspective, it was quite a shock coming from, I think they came from within the finance industry, which is very traditional in many senses as well. But it has shifted. My job as a leader is to get out of the way. My job as a leader is to empower them, give them the right, as you said, the right environment, the skills, the platform to do their job. Whereas in the past, it was very different. as well. So I'm having to find myself. I am the bottleneck a lot of the time. I'm realizing I'm the one who needs to get out of the way as well. So it's a big shift that we've gone through. What, Shipper, obviously you've just started this new role. What are the things that you're most excited about that you're working on over the next 6 to 12 months?
So I think lots of stuff to do. I think
I'm sure. But
let me put it in terms of the priorities. And what keeps me super excited is our mission. So at Microsoft, our mission is to empower every individual and every organization on the planet to achieve more. And I truly, truly relate to that as I work with my leaders, my employees. It's important to ensure that every employee, regardless of location, department, function, succeeds in their role in helping achieve this purpose. I'm extremely enthused by our journey on diversity and inclusion. So we're continuing to focus on this work-life balance and well-being at every stage of our employees' journey. It's a journey. Are we there? No, completely. But are we continuously focusing on that and really amping up our efforts here? Yes, absolutely. We are also focused on ensuring people have continuing access to the right learning and development opportunities. Skilling and reskilling is extremely important. So we need to ensure that people feel equipped and empowered to achieve their professional aspirations. And we make sure that regular career conversations are held with our employees to look at what their next step is. Our key focus is ensuring that our people are thriving, they feel empowered, they're engaged, and they're pursuing their dreams with a sense of purpose. So we empower our managers and employees by utilizing the benefits of Microsoft technology in terms of fostering a powerful and holistic employee experience. Mm-hmm. There are many things to keep ourselves excited. But the journey of a company when it comes to our culture, when it comes to employee experience is quite incredible. That keeps me on my toes and supremely excited and looking forward to the next day and the next day and the next day.
So just a few little things. How does it make, on a serious note, obviously, especially having made the trip to where you are now and all of the great work you're doing around DEI that you just mentioned, how does it make you feel to see the progress the company's made in terms of DEI
it's quite incredible. Honestly, Chris, I've worked across various organizations and with Microsoft for the past 6 years, and I think the thinking around diversity and inclusion is very progressive. Of course, representation is very important for the company, and we see that in the DNR reports that get published every year. In addition to that, it's extremely important that as we change the representation mix across various geographies to whatever is important and relevant in that geography, how do we ensure that we have a culture in which everyone can bring their authentic selves to work and feels included to deliver their best job every day? And that's a big focus area for us. And when I see my leaders, bringing their authentic selves to work. When I see my leaders talking about the mistakes they have made and being very open about it so that everyone can learn from it and they can learn from it. I think it's a massive journey in terms of how we bring, we create a culture of openness, learning, and what we call a growth mindset. This entire journey around hybrid working when everyone has been virtual, the journey on inclusion has been further accelerated by that because you're seeing elements and you're literally, I'm not saying forced, but you're truly appreciating the part that every voice needs to be heard. Let me put it like that. Whereas in a meeting room, there are a few voices that get heard, to be very honest. Mm-hmm. But here you're actually in an environment which really encourages and creates a platform for every voice to be heard. So I think it's very exciting. It is a very important thing for Microsoft, not just for our employees, for our customers, for our partners as well.
Yeah.
And we truly like to believe that we can make a difference in the lives of our employees by being on this inclusion journey, who they in turn can make a difference in the in the journey of their customers and partners. And to us, that's how the magic gets woven in.
Yeah. And I suppose like, if I'm saying personally, I feel like your personal journey is a great example of that, of your move, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, I was sharing this with another colleague of mine, like, you know, when you move from, I mean, I have moved from India to Switzerland. It's very different. These are very different parts of the world, to be very honest, culturally. But the way my teams, my leadership team have really, embraced me with my differences is quite incredible. I mean, I hadn't expected this. And today, I mean, I feel extremely confident to say what I think and have a very open conversation about everything. And they value my different perspective. And I learn, and I have learned to value what they bring to the table, which is very different from what I was used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the journey and the learning on this is incredible. And that's the beauty of this change, but the beauty of the company, which really allows this kind of thinking to flourish and be accepted.
Love that. Amazing. I'm so happy. I'm really happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
As well.
Have you learned how to ski yet?
Okay.
That's essential. Essential.
I really tried. And I am trying. So 2 hours lessons.
Oh, really? You did lessons?
Yeah,
nice.
I did. I took lessons, me and my family, all of us went. And we were, like an ugly mass on the floor because we kept on falling down, whereas kids around us were like, you know, skiing, like, you know, they were champions. And we were like adults and my little kid. So obviously the kid looks okay when he falls, but when we fall, it's an extremely ungraceful.
It's part of the process. Yeah.
So no, but we are liking it and we are learning. But, you know, still, I mean, hardly there. Just about managed to put our feet on the ground.
You'll get there. What about you, Michael? What are you most excited about moving forward?
It's a great question. What I find interesting is everything is still changing so fast that we actually have to focus on kind of what people need, what we want, and how we can grow. And even kind of thinking about, we're back in the office now, but we're kind of not really back in the office. We're in this kind of messy hybrid thing, you know? So, you know, before you could show up on a Tuesday and you know, everybody's going to be in the office on a Tuesday. And if they weren't, you know, I mean, within an advisory practice, if somebody wasn't in the office, that normally meant they were in a client's office somewhere offsite, right? Where now, you know, you're having to think a bit more about how you're deliberately organizing things in a way that you didn't necessarily have to do it before, right? So, I'm going over, we're having some great meetings internally within Korn Ferry in London on Thursday. And quite a lot of people are making an effort to attend the meeting. And actually, there's now this great excitement that there's going to be 70 human beings, actual people in a room, you know, drinking coffee, having lunch together, chatting and sharing without having to see, you know, 70 little squares on the screen, right? But what's really interesting about that, and back to the point is that takes a lot more thought and planning now than it used to, you know? You have to think about what value you're creating for those 70 people to come into, for us central London for the day and what that's going to look like. I also think that there's something where we're coming into a very interesting balance on inputs and outputs again and the value that we're creating. So it's almost like the presenteeism of being on the screen from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. is actually now almost seen as like, ooh, you know, are you actually getting anything done, or are you just kind of talking to people all day and almost getting nothing done? So starting to think about how you use your time and being really clear about what you're creating in that time and what value you're bringing to either the conversation or the organization or what you need to get done, I think is really good. And then the other point, and something I'm really excited about at the moment, Chris, is I might be of a certain generation, not going to declare it kind of on the podcast, but I might be of a certain generation that, you know, hasn't grown up with, you know, complete technology at their hand, right? I have an 18-year-old daughter who can do everything on a mobile phone and quite effectively, right? You know, she can attend classes online, look at notes on other things, and she's very comfortably in the digital environment. And I kind of then look at that and kind of go, you know, and she sometimes will even make the argument saying, actually, I can get more done and get more study if I don't travel an hour into the city center to get something done. And I kind of say, that's an interesting conversation, because I had that conversation with somebody on my team, right? And you can see the output. So there's this whole conversation now, which is around me as a manager or as a leader going, actually, I trust how you're going to use your time, because you know your working practice best. You know what's going to be most productive. And therefore, as you said, Chris, you take the step back, right? You know, I get excited because I come into the office. I'm like, oh, I get to see people. I'm in our office today. That we have quite a lot of projects on. Out of a, you know, office of 30 people, there's four of us in. Now, that's because some people work from home and some people are offsite. But I kind of came in and went, oh, I was kind of hoping to see more people, right? But that's my need.
You should have pushed that on other people. Yeah, exactly.
Comes together, you know, where I'm very excited about, you know, seeing colleagues on Thursday, because there's 70 of us. You see a whole bunch of people in there.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to...
I like that piece of thinking about how we need to create the right balance for managers as much as some of the newer generations coming into the working environment.
It goes back to Shipper's point earlier about knowing each of your employees individually, like really, truly knowing them. Yeah, and also that that might change, right? You know, so as they have kids, that will change, that will shift. Yeah. They may actually go, actually, you know what? I do want to be in the office more often now. So let's actually have a conversation around it. It's not binary. It's not you're stuck in this way of working. And also, I do think that's also where technology can help us. Talking about in office, there's great technologies out there letting you know, you can see who's going to be in the office on the Tuesday. You know, and then you can arrange that. You can see that virtual environment. Oh, so-and-so's in. I'm going to go in that day. So there's also an element of I get prompts to let me know, hey, Chris, by the way, so-and-so's going to be in the office this day. And I'm like, oh, great, cool. Right. So just so nudges.
Yeah, great tools out there.
Exactly. And our managers need all the help they can get to nudge them and say, hey, Chris, have you checked in with Lisa? You know, it's been 2 weeks and you haven't checked in. I think that's the role of technology that can help us. Because sometimes when you're not in an office, it's easy to overlook those water cooler conversations that organically just happen, right? Even when it comes down to celebrating success, I have a notification set up that when I know deals come in, so I can go and celebrate that moment with that individual. So if I don't see it, I don't see it. So I think that's the role of technology. So I'm excited just as much as you. about that, and as I mentioned before the call, we're about to move into our new hybrid kind of office/studio. So I'm going to have a whole new set of conversations in the next couple of weeks to see how that all plays out individually and understand what does that mean for each of my team members as well. But it's exciting times ahead. Before I let you both go, we spoke about quite a few things, but you know, if you kind of had to give one parting piece of advice to the HR leaders listening, what would that be? And then where can they connect with both of you if they want to say hi and reach out? Shipper, we'll come to you first.
Okay, one bit of advice to the HR leaders. I think we need to be fully conscious and aware of the pace at which things are changing around us, and be very agile and quick to adapt to those changing needs of employee experience. That is super critical for us. We can't be rooted in the old ways of working. There is no such thing as going back to pre-pandemic days, to be very honest. Life's changed, our ways of working changed, and the new age will be a combination of pre, current, and future. So I think we need to be fully conscious of that and work with our leaders in creating stuff that is more in tune with the times and is more agile, rather than getting rooted to an old way of working. So I think that'll be my one bit of learning and advice. And where can people reach me? At LinkedIn. You know, I'm not heavily active, let me put it like that, but I definitely respond to messages.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to reach out to me, they can absolutely do that.
I'm going to apologize in advance that you're about to get loads of messages. So no, I'm just going to, don't blame me when you're like, Chris, what's going on with my inbox? So how about you, Michael?
Yeah, I think what's interesting and picking up on Shipper's point around the pace of change, I like talking about going back to the going back to basics and going back to kind of, you know, human beings. And, you know, we are, in essence, very simple yet complex creatures at the same time. So really going and understanding who you're working with, who your leaders are, getting to know them, understanding what works for them, what doesn't work for them. And on one level with technology, we've created loads of time to do stuff. But interesting enough, we're not spending that time with people to understand what drives them, what their values are, you know, what we could do to kind of, you know, make them successful. So there's something for me around going back to those core needs around who we are as humans, what drives me, what excites Mike, you know, maybe what I'm worried about, what I'm struggling with, and having those conversations and going back. I remember talking to a client. It's kind of, it's a bit like thinking about when you learn to drive a car. The bits that they teach us in class are never the bits they start with. They start with kind of the mindset and the behavior. And the mindset is, by all means, don't run into anything, be safe, and, you know, don't, you know, die in the car. So it's always about safety and caution. And then we learn the rules of the road, and then we learn about, you know, how the indicators work and, you know, the clutch and all of that. That almost seems the easy bit once we've got our heads around the mindset of checking the mirrors and being really cautious. So there's something for me, which is we can get our mindset of, you know, we're talking with real people, find out who they are, spend more time with them, and that'll truly make you successful. Mm-hmm. And I can also be found on LinkedIn as well.
Love that. Absolutely. So. Well, thanks for joining. I appreciate it. And for everyone listening, as always, the links will be below to connect with Shipra and Michael there. So make sure you go connect on LinkedIn. Appreciate you both joining us, and wish you all the best. Shipra, we'll check in on you in a year and see how you're getting on with your skiing.
You'll be competing for India.
Too much of pressure, Chris.
Yeah. What I want to see is a LinkedIn post from you with you skiing down the slopes.
Oh my God.
tag us both in. But honestly, really happy for you both. Thank you so much for joining, and look forward to seeing you both again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Shipra.
Thanks, bye-bye. Chris. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.